Thank you so much, Ashwood. We love your pastors, Matt and Claire, so much. And on our conference media, you can hear Claire speaking because she was one of our speakers that shared about her testimony and how she's overcoming the obstacles that she had last year. But I, Matt said, if you wondered why the 2-0 is over here, it's because I'm celebrating my 20th birthday. My youngest daughter's 23. I'm not sure how that works out, but no. No, my husband and I, we actually have been coming. I missed a few years, but he has been here every year for 20 years. The last 20, how are we that old? I'm not quite sure how this works out. But for 20 years, God has put the England on our heart. We lived here for 2 years, and for 20 years, beyond these shores, now actually started, was birthed in England. A friend of ours, Clive Price, played an Iona CD of Beyond These Shores, and it matched the vision of what God had put in our heart. And so in 1999 and in 2000, we launched out in missions. And so now we're celebrating our 20th anniversary, and this is actually our last year doing this tour through the UK at the first of the year. We felt like 20 years we had obeyed what God had asked us to do. We'll still come back to the UK when we're invited. We'll still come to conferences and different things. But as at the beginning of the year, going from church to church, this is our finale. So in this way, but I want to encourage you this morning, and I'm going to get into my message, but I just want to give you this prophetic injection of faith quickly that God is doing something fresh. Now, we know as a nation that we have entered a new era, right, in history. With Brexit and all of, no matter where, I know people are celebrating or commiserating, you know, we won't discuss that. But the past is the past, right? And we have stepped into a new era naturally, but I want to encourage you. We also have stepped into a new era spiritually. All over the world, in 2020, this decade, God is calling for it to be the roaring 20s. Not just like the 1920s were, which gave us innovation on all of this new thing, these new amazing things that came to the forefront that we're still living out today. But the roaring 20s, like the lion of the tribe of Judah roaring with a great awakening. God has put in our heart that there's a fresh move, there's fresh bread, there's fresh oil, there's fresh fire. That there's a revival coming, and if you listen to prophetic voices all over, from Australia to America to England, everyone is feeling the same, that the harvest, it's time for harvest. Look around today, Ashwood. Look at how God is growing. He's multiplying, and we are called. Now, of course, the enemy is going to come to steal it. He's going to come to intimidate us. And that's why we need to stand up and say, no, this decade, we're going to go bold. We are not going to have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we have to seize this decade. Think about it for a minute. Our kids, the ones that were just in here, the little ones that are 6 now, in this decade, 10 years from now, they'll be 16. There is an opportunity, and that's what I love about the vision of this church, to love and instill a foundation in families and in our children. We have an opportunity to put the word, to hide the word in their heart in this decade that will set them for their future. Think about where you are. Think about where you could be in 10 years. I just became a grandmother. We have a new one. We may have a picture of him. Our little one, Zion, is 9 months old. And in 10 years, he'll be 10. Isn't he something? That smile, it melts every part. You're like, oh, you want chocolate? Yes, you can have anything. I feel like I have grandma rights, you know, that mom has to teach him how to be healthy. I get to spoil him, you know, that's, But think about the opportunity that you have. Some of us, this will be some of the most productive. Think about even if you're on the verge of entering glory, which none of us know the hour or the day for when we will go to heaven. And if you're not quite sure if you're going to heaven, we want to pray with you before the end of this day so that you know that's your destination. But some of us, we need to make sure there are prayers we need to pray. There are seeds we need to sow for over our children, over our communities, there are things that we need to seize. So my prayer today and my mandate today is we need fresh eyes. We need a deeper vision. We need to take off the glasses or the lens that we held in 2019. And we need to step into, there's a new anointing. There's a new vision. There is, I've heard many people have had a vision prophetically of a tide that's rising and a wave that's rising of a fresh revival. But what we need to do, you know what happens if you've ever been to the coast or you've ever been in waves, if you don't prepare for it and it just happens, what happens to you? It just knocks you over. But if you can see it and you're believing for it and you're preparing and you're getting ready and we are ready to catch this wave, which means that we're doing everything. We've got Alpha in place. We've got things in place to disciple people because we know a harvest is coming, a wave is coming, and we're going to prepare. We're going to get ready. Instead of having God never does anything around here. I saw him do it in, the city over there. What's going to happen when it comes? Because it is coming. I'm telling you, I have never gone into a decade with as much expectation of what God is about to do. It's coming. Will we see it? And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is a deeper vision. Can you see into the unseen? And I believe God's going to do some things to repair our vision and give us a clearer 2020 vision. Are you ready? I want to show you a few pictures because you know how many times things are hidden in clear sight. Some of you may have experienced that. You know, they say that women actually have a different kind of vision to find things because men are focused, like tunnel vision, and they go to the refrigerator. Now, please forgive me. I'm trying not to stereotype. I know this may not be everyone. Maybe it's just my husband and my son. But you say, would you mind getting the butter out of the refrigerator? And they go and open it and go. And cannot find it. And we know that if mom goes to the refrigerator, she will go straight to it, right? Well, I believe in the spirit that the spirit of God, what does it say? The spirit searches and it reveals to us things in the unseen. That's a part of the Holy Spirit's job. Many times there are things hidden in plain sight. And I want to show you just a few of those. Let's see. I think we have a picture. Does anybody ever use FedEx around here? Have you ever noticed there is an arrow hidden in the FedEx logo? It is actually pointing to the right. I have seen this on vans, on all for years, ages and ages. And look, right there, hidden in plain sight. Now, this is the great thing. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Okay, let's see. I think we have another one. Does anyone like ice cream? Yeah. This is, you may have seen this ice cream shop in a few places, but have you noticed Baskin-Robbins is famous for its 31 flavors of ice cream, and there's a 31 right there hidden in the middle of the B and the R. Once you see it, you can unsee it. Okay, let's see our next one. You probably don't have these, but does anybody like nachos? We say nachos, you say nachos. You know, tomato, tomato, okay? But this is actually like nacho chips company that we have in the States. And I buy these every week. And I did not know this until I was researching hidden pictures. Right here, look, there's a chip right there with salsa. Hidden in two people. Yes, they're having a little nacho party right there. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Let's see. I think we have another one. You may not have these Hershey Kisses, but I know your chocolate's much better. I'll give it to you. Cadbury's much better than Hershey's. I do agree. But we have these little drops of chocolate. And right here, hidden in the logo, is the chocolate drop. Hidden in plain sight. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Very good. Do we have one more? Yeah, this is our last one. You may not have this, but this is like the Salvation Army charity shops, thrift shops. We have what we call Goodwill. I have seen this all my life. Now, depending on your perspective, what do you see in the corner? A smiley face? If you see a smiley face, raise your hand. If you see a G, raise your hand. Yeah. It's a G in the white, or the black is a smiley face, hidden in plain sight. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. If I said, let's play a fun game. If you have glasses or contacts, would you just take them off and pass them to the person on your right? You didn't have to really do it. How does it affect your vision? Woo! Some of you, if you did it for very long, you would have a headache, wouldn't you? You would not be able to drive. You would not be able to function. Well, let me tell you something. Some of us have been wearing lenses that the enemy gave to us years ago. Maybe they've been passed down from your family. Maybe they've been passed down by culture. Maybe then they've been passed down. But if we can have a healing of our vision and be able to wear the truth, it will change our lives. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul was telling us in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. And let's just look at it here, because it is such a great prayer that says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. The Passion Translation says, so that we may have a deeper intimacy. Ashwood, we're going deep and wide. The way we have clearer vision is that we see him, we know him more, and our eyes become enlightened. From his we start seeing things from the Father's viewpoint. And we're gonna look at that more in just a minute. Have you ever heard about the eyes of a lion? We've heard the eye of a tiger, right? But we never talk about the eyes of a lion. If we're going to be able to have deeper vision, and I believe that we are going to start living out the proverb that says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And instead of our circumstances and our problems roaring at us, you know, like a lion seeking whom he may devour, we're going to turn around with the spirit of a lion, the real lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and be able to roar and actually take on some of these characteristics of a lion. Did you know a lion can see 6 times further than we can? They have a built-in telescope, and they actually, God made their eyes so that they can see in the dark. Even, look at the white. Have you ever noticed the white that's under their eyes? That white actually reflects the moon and the stars, and it acts as a reflect to help the light go into their eyes. And they have special, their eyes are made in a special way that is able to capture that light and actually help them see in the dark. I believe Ashwood, as a church and as a community, even when it may seem dark for your nation and not know what is in the future, as a believer and a child of God, we can have eyes that have vision, that can lead people to hope, that can see in the dark and be able to be a hope in a dark world. Amen. You have eyes of a lion because you have the lion is alive on the inside of you. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is how we fix our eyes. Any of you like to have your eyesight fixed? I wore glasses from the time I was in our, fourth grade. So is that like year five? I'm not sure. I was probably about 10 years old. So thick. We say Coke bottle glasses. They were like that thick. Almost when you put them on, you almost fall forward. They were so heavy. So I have this great appreciation for fixing eyesight. I actually had LASIK eye surgery. What is that? It's when a laser or light comes and corrects your vision. Do you know this morning that light, the light of the Father, could come and correct our vision and reshape your cornea, reshape things in your mind so that you can see the will of God? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The New Living says, keeping our eyes on Jesus. King James says, looking unto Jesus. This word looking means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. It actually comes from two words that means to separate and to stare. Fix. So for us to be able to focus on something, we have to separate or be separated from distractions, right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, I want you to remember this. You will steer where you stare. You will steer where you stare. Now, this morning, can you go on a little drive with me? How many of you have your driver's license? Some of you might not have it yet, or, you know, I love people to just drive me around, so I'd be happy to not have it. But can we just if I was getting in the car, I would get in this way. So I'm in England, so we need to get in this way, right? So let's get in our car. What kind of car should we have, guys? A Citroen. All right. Well done. I was going to say BMW, but we'll go. Yes, our Citroen. Am I saying it right? Okay, Citroen. Okay. Are you in your Citroen? Close the door. Okay, adjust your mirrors, right? And can you just adjust your rear view mirror, right? You've got your rear view mirror. Are you all ready? Are you automatic or manual? You know? Okay, manual, yeah. I don't do so well with the manual, so... Yeah, some of you may need to drive. So just imagine, we've got our seatbelts, right? Our seatbelt buckled. We are all ready. We've got petrol. We're ready to go. There's no, we've had our oil change. We've got fresh oil, right? Fresh oil. We're fueled up, ready to go. We have a destination and a destiny. Where are we going to go? Let's go to the Lake District. We're going to do something. We're going to go. Let's go. We're going to do something. We're excited. We've got our bags packed. And we are fixing our eyes in the rearview mirror. Can you imagine? We take off. You're fixing. You're just staring at the rearview mirror. What do you see? What's behind you? Now we have those cameras, right, that you can see behind you. What if you just stared at that camera of what's behind you? Where would you end up steering? Exactly. Off the road, turning around in circles, or going back to where you've been before. This morning, church, can we take our eyes off of 2019? I almost said 1999. Some of you, maybe you need to forgive what happened in 1999. Can we stop? Can we turn our eyes? The other day I had something that happened in church or something that made me worry, or I was tempted to worry or be upset. And the Holy Spirit came and said, Chris, remember, we have new eyes, new vision. This is a new year. And I shook it off and I said, oh, that's so 2019. So whenever those worries or those things start coming, just shake it off and say, oh, that's so 2019. I'm not going to think like that. I'm not going to worry about that. Why? Because we are going, put it in gear, look forward to what God is saying, to what God is doing, put it in drive, and let's go. Amen? So I love how Helen Keller, do you remember Helen Keller? The younger people in here learn about her. She was deaf and blind. It was a miracle. You know, a beautiful thing. She said she got saved later in life. And she said, I always knew that God was with me. I just didn't know what his name was. I just didn't know who he was. She said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. Sight is natural, in the natural, what we see. Some of us, like we've talked about, we need things to correct our sight in the natural, but vision's different. The Bible says without vision, people perish. Without vision, vision's different. Vision is purpose. Vision comes from the heart. Sight comes from the eyes. But vision comes from the heart. And when we're following the Holy Spirit and seeing in the Spirit, then we can have vision to feel the heart of God, to know the heart of God, and to follow him into the future he has for us. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you believe in Jupiter, the planet? Do you believe, guys, do you believe in Jupiter? Do you believe there's a Jupiter? Can you see it? Actually, last August, we have a picture. One of the first, what looks like a star, it was in last August. Can you see it there? That's Jupiter. It looked just like a bright star, but actually, whenever it first got dark and it first came out, that was actually Jupiter back in August. Now to us, it looks like a star, but actually, now because of something called the Hubble telescope, any astronomy buffs in here, science buffs, NASA, you love space exploration. Because of the Hubble telescope now, we have images to know that Jupiter actually looks like this. This was the same picture taken in August. What is the difference between the first picture we saw and the second picture we saw? Perspective. Now, when we see things from Earth, you know, we sing a song called Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. You sing that in England, right? Yeah. Twinkle, twinkle. We're actually lying to our children. Stars don't really twinkle. They actually have a fervent light that stays, but because we're on Earth and we have the atmosphere, it gases that are between us and the stars, the atmosphere actually causes a distortion that looks as if they're twinkling. Church, this morning, there are so many things because of the atmosphere of the Spirit. Whether it is a spirit of light or darkness that you're living in, it affects the things that you see around you. It is an atmosphere, but if we can break through to the truth, to the Spirit, we can see truth. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. The amazing thing about the Hubble telescope, this is what it is. If you remember, it was in 1990, the Hubble telescope went up, and it was over $1 billion, all of this money. We put all of our hopes and dreams. We needed a win. We needed this to be amazing. We were so excited. There was just a little problem. When they got up there, someone had just a few, when they made the lens of the telescope, there were just a few calculations off. And it was called a spherical, It was a spherical abrasion, aberration. Yes, thank you. And it was just, it's just like our life sometimes. We're so close. But just a little, just hold on, a little tweaking. But these men who had, and astronauts, all these engineers that they had promised all of this with the billion dollars that they've spent. And it was blurry. All that work for nothing. Heroes became zeros overnight. Seemed like in 1990. It seemed like it was a failure. For 3 years, these scientists lived in failure, in defeat. It had a horrible taste in everyone's mouth. And then one day a revelation came. What if we could? Now, Hubble was special because it was made to be replaced, repaired, and upgraded in space. So what if we could correct the lens of the telescope in space? It's kind of like putting a big contact lens over the telescope to correct it. 3 years later, after living in failure, they send up Endeavor to see if maybe we can correct this mistake. And it goes from this. Look, the difference. From a blurry mess to all of a sudden, they saw the pixels started becoming clearer and becoming clearer and becoming clearer. And now, I encourage you to research all the discoveries of Hubble. What we once thought were just clouds of dust, we have learned are actually galaxies. On the ground, on Earth, can you see this prophetically? What you think is just dust, it's nothing. It means nothing. It is just floating up there somewhere. But when you put on the eyes of the Spirit, it starts becoming clearer. And what you realize is actually these things matter. People matter. These are galaxies. This is destiny. And things start to become clear. And you start living your life in a different way. Now they were heroes again. All because of vision correction. Now, I want to encourage you this morning that just like Hubble, we were created to have our vision replaced, repaired, and upgraded. You can have, wherever you are in life, you can leave this morning, number one, with your vision replaced. There are some areas, just like when you put on someone else's glasses, that you need to throw those glasses away, the lenses away, because it is a lie from the enemy that you have worn your whole life that is not truth. John 10:10, Jesus came to give us abundant life, but the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he distorts the image of how you see yourself because you're seeing yourself from this perspective on Earth with the atmosphere and all of the gases and circumstances and things. But if you could break through in the Spirit and see your life from God's perspective, from heaven's perspective, you would see how Jesus died for you on the cross, how the Holy Spirit was sent to live on the inside of you in your ordinary clay jar, this treasure could come on the inside of you and make things clear. Things that don't make sense. Things that to other people would say, oh, how could you go on living? How could that matter? But when you see from God's perspective, your vision is replaced. There's some lies that need to be replaced. Acts 26, 17 and 19, this is what the Apostle Paul, what happened to him? Remember, but before when he was Saul, he was living under a different vision. Life is a battle of lenses. Remember, you steer where you stare. So life is a battle of lenses. Depending on the lens you see from will direct your destiny. So he was Saul. And what happened? On the road to Damascus, he was blinded by a light and he had LASIK surgery. All of a sudden, he could see things that had been hidden before. And now we see him say in Acts 26:17, he's talking to King Agrippa and he says, I am sending you to them to open their eyes. He's saying what God, what said his destiny, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Do you know that we have, because of the power of the gospel, as Jesus gave us the great commission to go into all the world and make disciples, we have that same vision from heaven. To turn them from darkness to light. If we're going to lead people in darkness, then we need the eyes of a lion, right? So that we can see in dark places and be able to lead others, right? So when the world gets rough and it looks, we don't know where we're going, we don't need to gripe and complain with everyone else, right? We need to say, no, I have a different perspective, a kingdom perspective, a perspective from heaven, not from the ground, so that we can lead people into truth. Amen. We need to replace those lies that are distorting the truth. Have you ever been to a fun house or a circus, you know, where you go in and they have these mirrors? And even though you may be 5'7", when you look in the mirror, you look like you're 3 foot. And it makes your nose look this big. How many people are walking in through life, basing their decisions in their life off of a funhouse mirror or a circus mirror that the devil's put in front of them? That is not who you are. You are a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. And that is, we have a different vision. Amen. Some of us need to have that vision replaced. Do you remember the movie The Lion King? Did you just have the new one come? Yeah. Where we could see the lions be like real lions. What Simba had, he had a wrong, because of his mistakes, he got a wrong vision of himself. And he did not change until when? He looked in the water and he saw the king in his reflection. He saw his father. This is our identity in Christ. And this is how we can replace that lens. When you look in the mirror, you don't just see, oh, I'm John. Oh, I'm Mary. Oh, I'm Lucy. No, the king is alive and he lives in you. The power of God living in you. That is your true identity. And I believe in this decade, this is a decade of difference, that there are going to be men and women of God who stand up and say, I'm just ordinary. But the power of God in me, the king is alive in me. So it does not matter the mistakes I've made, that my no education, all the things that disqualify me. God is using those things to prove it is not me, but it is the glory of God. Amen. Number two, we can have our vision repaired. I know the last decade held many hurts and things for many people. And you can hear this, that lots of people have given this kind of word, that there was kind of a fog over the last decade. There were people that suffered with anxiety that had never suffered with it before. There were people that went through all kinds of tragedies and things that it kind of left the body of Christ in a fog. But that's why it is so exciting. I believe that the enemy was trying to distort our lens to keep us from walking into this era of harvest that is coming, which is so exciting. So we can have our lens repaired from the hurts of the past. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall fully know as I am known. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But I want to give you a key of how we can repair our lens. And this is it's like a contact lens that we put on our heart to help our vision. It is an attitude of gratitude of the goodness of God. Even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, many of you remember in Mind Reno and talking about mind transformation, remember the 5-to-1 principle. Our brains naturally are, it's like Velcro, are stuck to negative things. So we need five positive things to every one negative thing to make it equal. Remember that. I want to challenge you this week with your kids, your coworkers. Whenever you have to bring correction or ever you have to say something, use that fire, or with your spouse. That's a revolutionary thought, huh, right there. That we are speaking five times more positive, giving life words to the negative. Can we do that? Say 5-1. I'm up for it. An attitude of gratitude. I love this quote that said, it was actually Doris Day said, gratitude is riches, complaint is poverty. Think about the atmosphere. When we're looking at atmospheres, how it distorts our vision of space. Think about how your words of complaining and negativity create an atmosphere around you that distorts the image of God. Because you're carrying it. Your words are containers. Your words have power. And wherever you're speaking, you're creating that kind of atmosphere around you. But an attitude of gratitude repairs your lens. A gratitude is the lens that repairs the lens of life that repairs your vision. And then number three, and I'm getting ready to close. And if you're a guest, please forgive me. If you don't like me, just keep coming back, because don't judge me for I'm crazy Texan. So you'll like it more later. Number three is remember, God has created us to have our lens replaced, repaired, and then upgraded. And this is what I want you to leave with you today, church. We need an upgraded vision for this era. It's called a new wineskin, because God is pouring out a new wine, a fresh touch, a fresh vision, a fresh touch of God, a fresh move of God. But we need a new lens. We need a new wineskin to be able to see for the future. Remember, what did God do with Abraham? Abraham and Sarah, they had a promise, but it seemed like it was never going to come to pass. And God took him out for a walk and looked at the stars and said, look at these. This is going to be your children someday. This is generations. This represents your grandkids and your great-grandkids. And in that moment, it seemed like a failure, like Hubble. For 3 years, in that moment, Abraham, God, you've been saying this is never going to happen, but he kept adjusting his vision for the future. He kept encouraging him to have faith. And that's what I want to encourage you, Ashwood. There are so many promises. There's so many things of destiny that God's spoken over you, over your family. We have to keep looking to the future and believing and letting God upgrade our vision, because we are standing on the edge of eternity. We are living in the light of eternity. And I want you to remember, whenever a doctor looks at your eyes and tests your eyes, what do they show you? The eye chart. What do we look at? Can you see the big E? I remember when my husband's retina detached and the doctor said, he closed his good eye and he said, can you see the big E? And in that moment, he had to say, no, I can't see it. His retina detached and he was blind. He's blind and legally blind in one eye. Sometimes, if that's where you are today, if you say, I don't see a vision for my life. Whenever you see that E, I want you to remember it stands for eternity. Because we are living in the light of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal, just like the big E, eternity, eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. So again, it encourages us. So we fix our eyes. How do you get your vision fixed? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I encourage you right now. Can we just set our faith for this next decade? That we're not going to be moved by what we see, by what we feel, by what the doctor says, because we are eternal spiritual beings having a temporary human existence that's like a blink of an eye, and then we walk into eternity and we're like, wow, how did all those tiny little things that bothered me and troubled me in the light of eternity, what? It does not matter. Yesterday, we got to tour the cathedral in Coventry. Has anyone been? Good. Some of you. There's so many of you that need to go. We actually went into the side. We didn't walk in straight away, so we couldn't see the view. And actually, there was a priest that we had lunch with that told us to go into the back side door, and we could go in. And so we walked in the back side door, and I've never seen pictures. I know nothing. You know, I'm just an American. I don't know this. Teach me about. No, I lived in England. I know to appreciate cathedrals, but I've seen a lot of them, you know. So it takes a lot to impress me, but with cathedrals. We lived in Lincoln, so, you know, I'm used to Lincoln Cathedral. So, but I went in the back, and I didn't know about the tapestry. I didn't know about the artwork. I turned the corner expecting nothing and went, it's the largest tapestry in the world. And what's so amazing that I loved about it, Jesus on the cross is down here, and it is a picture of the glorified Jesus sitting and ruling on the throne. And I actually, my breath went, like, wow, I wasn't expecting it. God has some things in this decade you're not expecting. You can't see it coming. But if you stay faithful in the small, stay faithful following the voice of God when it doesn't make sense, when you don't see it, you don't feel it. But if you just keep going inch by inch, there's going to come a moment of, oh, surprise. And especially whenever we enter into heaven and into eternity, oh, the reward of heaven, when your eyes are finally opened to see Jesus sitting on the throne, to see the Father in his glory and the angels. Can you see? Can you imagine it? When your eyes are finally opened, everything else from the ground pales. We'll say, that was such a light and momentary affliction. I think the worship team is coming. And I want to leave you with this story that I just discovered last year, and I believe it will encourage someone. Just like the Hubble seemed like a failure, now it actually, the Hubble was meant to be for maybe 8 years. Now it's been working for 3 decades because it was able to be repaired and replaced and upgraded. Can you take that as a word for you? That if you are able to have your vision replaced, repaired, and upgraded, then you can keep being profitable in the kingdom of God. Yeah? But there's a man that, he was actually a pharmacist. His name was Dr. William Leslie from Canada. And he went into the DRC, into Congo, and actually started in 1921. He would go into the Yanzi people, and he established a mission base, and once a month, he would go into the jungle to reach this unreached people group, this tribe of people. He taught them how to read. He taught them how to read the Bible. He helped them in lots of different ways to develop things. And he was there actually until 1938, and he had a dispute with one of the tribal chiefs. Disappointment. It seemed like all of his work for 17 years of loving these people, teaching these people, just like that, it was gone. Because of a misunderstanding, because of this, and actually they actually were reconciled. The chief and him actually were able to work things out, but it was almost like he felt like the damage was done. It just felt like, God, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I had laid my life down for. From his vision from earth, his earthly perspective, he felt like a failure. He felt like, I have poured out my life for these people. And he actually went home to Canada and died, thinking he was not fruitful, thinking that what he had invested his life into didn't matter. And he died like that. Get this. In 2010, there were missionaries that were studying different tribes in Africa, and they thought the Yanzi people had not been reached yet. Until one day in 2010, they turned the corner to find, and I think we have a picture of it, there was a 1,000-seat stone church that they actually believe was built in the 1980s. Remember? Dr. Leslie started in like 1921. What he didn't know, actually, they built this church and it couldn't hold the people. So they started what could be the first campus sites, satellite churches. So they couldn't all fit in this building. So they started building smaller churches in other villages. As they began exploring in 2010, they found 8 villages of healthy, established churches that even had gospel choirs that would go and travel to the other villages, and they would sing together and kind of have like competitions. I don't know. Maybe it was like a, what do we say? Stars. What do we call it in England? Who's got talent or who, what? Yeah, it was kind of like that for gospel choirs. I don't know. Profitable, amazing harvest and fruit, but it wasn't seen. Did that negate its reality? No. One day from heaven, I believe, he saw as the veil of this atmosphere of earth, when he went, he translated his life into heaven and could see from God's perspective and saw truth. But maybe, I don't want to live. Maybe there was a tinge of feeling like, man, what if I hadn't felt like a failure? What if I hadn't been disappointed? What if I had trusted that there was more to my life than what was seen? How could I have made decisions that may have looked a little different? And that's what this morning, if you just want to stand, and I just want to pray over you. What if you made decisions from a different lens of victory? What if you started living this decade with the lens of truth of who you are in Christ? What if you stopped steering out of hurt from the past and let the Holy Spirit come and heal your heart and help you forgive and help you repair the damage that's been done to your lens? What if you let God start upgrading you with a new vision for the future? And we stop making decisions in the lie that I don't see it, I don't feel it, it can't be real, Jupiter can't be real, I can't see it. My destiny, God's call over my life, God's promises, they can't be real because I don't feel them right this minute. Does that negate the reality? Ha! It's bigger. Can you see the big E right now, just in your mind's eye? Can you just see eternity? And let eternity go. Can you just go through the earth's atmospheres of circumstances and problems and media and all of the what ifs and all of the things that try to weigh the gravity that tries to distort our vision of the universe. Right now, can you just make your way through all those things? And can you see the Father? Can you see the Father? And look back at you, at yourself, through his eyes. Eyes of love. Pure love. The Bible talks about God loves us even more than the best father ever could. He loved us so much that he sent us his son for us so that we could be close to him again. No matter what mistake we've made, no matter how we failed, his eyes of love and compassion, his hope for our destiny, his hope for the future. Can you see your life through his lens? Right now, Lord, I thank you for LASIK surgery on our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you show us the big E. What things really matter. What things matter in eternity. What things are passing away. Lord, we declare right now, we won't give our heart, we won't give our worry, we won't give our attention to those things that are passing away, that don't matter. We're not going to waste our brain cells. But we fix our eyes. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, right now, I thank you that you're doing LASIK. You're giving us a vision. You're upgrading our vision for the future. You're filling us with hope. And Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you're healing our eyes. Help us to see like you see. Truth. And the truth will set us free. Free. Free in the name of Jesus. And if you agree, can you just say yes and give the Lord some praise? Amen. 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 I believe some of us, it's a continual work. So even as you go home, and even I believe in the first 3 months of the year, there's some corrective. This year is setting the course for the decade. So I believe even God's calling some of us to prayer, like you're praying together, fasting and praying, seeking God for what he's seeing for the future. That we won't look back and say, oh, we should have done this. We should have done this. We're going to look ahead and see where he's leading us and catch the wave of a fresh move of God. Amen. Amen. I love you, Ashwood. And there's nothing you can do about it.